ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, and everybody got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. This show is the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go frickin' nuts. My very special guests, plural today, is Nick, otherwise known as Sonic, and Lana Lochte from Red Ice Radio. So everybody, welcome.
Hello.
Can we hear you? Oh, yes, we can.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Excellent.
Oh, that makes me feel so much better. I'd better have like heart palpitations and such, because over the last week, guys, AFR's been having some real bad Skype troubles. But they had somebody from AT-AT, you know, the Star Wars snow assault walkers. Come in and take a look at the thing. Or maybe it's AT&T. I can't remember exactly the thing here. But yeah, it's all sorted now. Thank goodness. And nobody got shot with laser beams.
It's better than being on the phone. It's a bit clearer, maybe.
Yeah. Well, isn't that interesting that Skype had traditionally had a reputation of being laggy or terrible or whatever, and people began to realize relatively early on, especially in alternative radio, that it becomes one of the prime alternatives because you're capable of plugging in different microphones and things of that nature to get an even higher quality audio stream, much higher than the average phone conversation that you would have. So thank goodness it's back. That's all I'll say.
That's right. It's
okay.
Nice and clear.
Mm-hmm. So, Lana, if you would introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about who you are, what you do, plug your websites and such, I'd be much obliged.
Well, my name is Lana, and currently I'm at Red Ice Radio. I help out my husband, Henrik, and I've been doing that for about 4 years. Prior to that, I worked in music, I worked in film. I also have a band called 30 Day Notice, which is my brother and I. And I have a radio show called Radio 314, which is fairly new. But it's going pretty well.
And Nick?
Well, I run Type 1 Radio, which was set up through the Friends of Freeman Network. They're called the Friendship Agenda. And it was really to just... There were so many creative people on the site that I thought... It was a good idea to give everybody a voice that wanted it. And so we've got a little core collective of people on there. So we've got Retta. She does a Thursday night show all about astral projections. And she's had some quite good guests on, such as George Lobono. He was just on recently. And then Friday, we are honoured to have on Type 1 Radio a Swami Shivanandaguri, who's presented a Freighter show a couple of times, and he does very, very interesting meditation show. And then Saturday nights, me and a couple of other people in Brighton, who we met through the Friends of Freeman, which is just crazy because they live... literally a mile away from me. We did the Saturday Night Show with a bunch of other people on around the Friendship Agenda. And we seem to be doing quite well. We've had lots of interesting guests on and met a whole load of very, very interesting people. We had Ben Stewart come over the end of last summer, and it just coincided with Max Egan being here as well. So that was just a great convergence of very, very cool people. So, yeah, it's been very fun. Great journey so far.
It becomes a lot easier once you realise you're doing the right thing.
Definitely. And it's quite interesting how just synchronicities lead you to you know, the next, you know, another person, and then that'll just link you to so many other people.
And it seems like everyone has an alternative talk show now, but that's great, right? The more out there, the better the chances of being heard. So,
yeah, definitely. Power to the people.
Yeah, the more the merrier. And there's something you said, Nick, about giving people a voice. And that's basically what I try to do with this show. You know, it's just every guest that we have on, I've done no research. I'm sorry. I've got so much other stuff to do. You already know who you are, so you can explain it. So, you know, there's no need to research other than ask you who you are and what you do. And the great thing about it is, of course, hey, you get to meet so many really cool, interesting people.
That's
and
right.
You'd be surprised how many cool, interesting people also know other cool, interesting people.
It seems like all the cool people never go out, so you can just meet them online now.
Yeah. And I think that's because they know that if you would go down to the bar and the local thing, the chances of you running into somebody as cool as us and having a mean conversation that we would have right here is pretty frickin' slim, Jack.
That's true. I can't do it anymore. Me in a bar, forget about it.
Yeah. My sister doesn't like sport very much, and she said if I was ever going to sit around and watch men struggle to score for over an hour, I'd just go to a bar.
Well, we've got a very we're fortunate to have a very interesting and collective place just outside of Brighton, where it's called Zoo, and they just get speakers to come in, and they have party nights, and it's a great place, you know. So when Ben Stewart came over, we got him talking there, and that was just a packed. It's like in a big warehouse, so the speaking area is upstairs with bean bags everywhere. Very, very chilled out, and that was really cool. And as well with Max Egan, he did a very interesting talk about his, because at the time he was on a world trip, he just got back from Gaza with Ken O'Keefe, if any of you know Ken. Ken will be on a special Taiwan lounge next Tuesday, because he just got back from Iran. So, Max was talking a lot about his experience in Gaza and the atrocities going on there. It's all good.
Right. Now, putting it into a direction that we all know and love. Have you noticed that the news no longer matters, and the more you try to keep up with it, the more paranoid you become?
Sometimes I find that I take it in. I kind of view it like I'm viewing a movie anymore, and I can step away from it and laugh at it in a different way. So I'm beyond the paranoia part. I feel like if it's going to happen, let it happen. I'll deal with it when it happens.
Well, I'm also just concerned, like, I used to do that back in the day, you know, always listening to the radio, watching the news, and reading all these articles and this kind of stuff. What I was doing is I was just filling my head full of other people's thoughts,
right.
And as a result, I abdicated my own ability to think, and as soon as I stepped away from it and just go, hey, what do I actually really think about all this kind of stuff, that's when things started to become very clear about what my purpose and mission is in life. And I think that's kind of a microcosm for how maybe a good section of the truth movement are currently living their lives. They're living their lives vicariously through the commentators on the radio and the YouTube videos, as if that's contributing.
Absolutely. And I also see people defending these people and getting in these fights online, and they've never actually met some of these researchers or people face to face, so they actually don't even know who they are, but they're really defensive of them. I notice a lot of unkindness. It really shocks me at the lack of kindness, as well as the skill to engage in a civil, healthy debate where if ideas aren't agreed upon, that's okay. You know, we can scrutinize and test our own philosophies, see how they hold up. That's part of being awake and aware, isn't it?
Whereas the problem is, the reason why we're doing all of this is because we want to break away from the whole slave-slave-master relationship. And in a lot of ways, we're simply creating a new slave-slave-master relationship, whereas I'm the master, I'm the authority of information, you must believe me and defend me and attack my enemies and such.
Yeah, and then there's those who also, I don't know if you get this, that write and we demand to know the truth. You must give us the truth. Like we have the truth, or we're obligated to do that for someone. That's your own personal path.
Yeah. Show us the money, yo. I mean, are you paying me, man?
Let me tell you, it seems like the truth fascists and dictators are out. I don't understand why people can't just let people do what they want to do and have their beliefs and be respectful of that and not have to attack people if they think a little differently. Or if, for instance, Vinny, it's your show. If someone doesn't like something that you say or do, they can go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yesterday we were talking with the guest and she said something along the lines of the reason why you don't have your own thoughts in order is because you keep on listening to other people's thoughts on the radio and things like that. You're never really actually going out there and doing anything about it. You're just listening and listening to endless information that is still irrelevant. And I was just like, yep, that's absolutely right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to figure out how to think, stop listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. And if somebody were to actually just stop listening to this show, go out, ambush a scumbag with a camera, start their own YouTube channel, and actually start doing their own investigations, their own research, I would prefer to have no listeners and have like a million former listeners or something like that who have all got their own shows and YouTube channels and stuff like that. That would actually be preferable to me because it means that I'm not the one doing all the work. But that's looking at me like I'm something huge, which I'm not. I'm basically nothing, you know, blip on the radar, a flea on an elephant's ass. But it doesn't matter.
But wouldn't you prefer to have all those people not be living in the system that is apparent to us now and rather out growing their own food? Wouldn't that be
well,
a
that
better?
Too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, take action in whatever way you can, basically. You know, if you ain't got no legs, don't take action by doing a run for charity.
How about working on becoming an individual and not caring about the collective so much? I noticed that also within alternative media, there's a lot of socialists and metaphysical commies, as I like to call them. It's like, stop worrying about what everyone else is doing and just do what you want to do. Break away. We don't all have to be one together and hold hands and sing kumbaya all the time.
Well, see, and the fact of the matter is, we're not. Never
right.
have been. Quite conceivably never will be that way. And as far as I know, there's been a lot of experiments in communism. As far as I know, they haven't been worked out too well for the people who got exterminated.
That's right.
And have you noticed that that's what people do a lot of the time, like, as soon as a reality disappears, like so let's say hardcore communism in, say, Russia and the Cold War, that disappears. So now people don't realize that how bad it was, and now they start to think that it's a good idea again.
That's right. It's coming around, and it's there and with the Occupy movement, and it's completely ridiculous because government is responsible for creating all the problems, and yet they're going to them, and now they want bigger government. These people haven't really done any of their homework.
With the Occupy
so dangerous.
Movement, I think that I just hear that it's occupying, it's there to occupy our minds, you know, it's to get people out of not looking at the real stuff that's going on.
That's right, which is why in New Zealand, here in Auckland, I wanted to create a new movement called Pre-Occupy Auckland and encourage them to ignore all political issues. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TVI brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seems. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go, in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
All right, welcome back. Welcome, everybody, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests from the European FEMA regions. Sonic from the Uber Kingdom, and I believe Lana Lorkoff. Now, Lana, is it a bit of an invasion of your privacy to ask what country you're currently in?
No, currently I'm actually in the States. I needed a little break from Sweden, so...
Okay. All right. Well, that's not a problem then. Heinrich's not in the States with you, is he?
We go back and forth, so yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's cool. I didn't know Heinrich was a frequenter to the TSA.
Actually, they leave him alone, so he does okay.
They do?
They've been pretty nice to him, yeah.
All right.
No, excellent. They've been pretty... I haven't been frisked or anything either. I just kind of go through with the attitude of like, you don't exist, and then it turns out okay.
Turns out they don't.
Let's get them.
Hey, there's a FEMA evacuation plan for you. Pretend it doesn't exist.
Never know. I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah.
If it happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's something like targeting, really, you know, or at least this is what I've been led to believe about airport security and all of that. They just target people, young kids, old women, very sexy girls, etc. And the rest of us, don't really care. Walk on through. Man, that guy's got an enormous bulge in his pants. Don't worry, bro. It's probably just a mini nuke. It's all good.
They also like to bug people who opt out of going through the scanners. Then they will take their sweet time.
Oh, yeah. So you've gone through the scanners?
No, I opt out. You know, people have to know their rights. They think that they have to do these things. It's like vaccines, you know, they think they have to do it. But no, you have rights and you need to say no. The more people that say no, the better it's going to get. But people willingly do it.
This goes back to our collectivism sort of spiel that we were rattling off before in the first segment, is that, you know, mass demonstration and things like that occasionally does work.
Sure.
But on the other hand, how many protests have I been to? Shockingly large amounts. I don't know. I think I've got maybe 7 or 8, like 2 terabyte hard drives or something lying around the place. They're just full of footage that I've taken from all these different protests and public meetings and stuff that I've been to, right? And you know what any of these protests have accomplished? In fact, you know what every single one of these protests has accomplished? Nothing.
That's right.
Absolutely nothing.
And you can protest in different ways. It doesn't mean having a sign and going out and being visible. Here I am, you know.
Yeah, I think it's more less about protest and more about demonstration. So you know your demonstration through your actions that you're not going to be party to whatever it is that you're the protesting against. By protesting, it creates the dichotomy, doesn't it? That there's a pro and an against. So opposites, you know, when really we should just let everybody get on with what they're doing.
Mm. Well, see, I always found the irony of protesting is that you go down central city streets. So let me get this straight. You're deploring capitalism
whilst walking down the central business district and disrupting the businesses of the people who would probably support you if you weren't disrupting their businesses.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
If
protesting changed anything, it'd be made illegal. In China, they don't even allow it at all, basically.
In fact, I was at a protest here not too long ago. I think it might have been just late last year. And a Chinese lady came up to me and she said, what's going on here? What are all these people doing in the middle of the street with all these signs and stuff? And I said, it's a protest. And she,
what? What's a protest? You didn't even know what a protest was. Like, literally. That was shocking to me.
Yeah, what town was that?
that was in Auckland City. Wow. But this lady had just come over to New Zealand to have a bit of a holiday kind of thing. And this is the first protest she'd ever seen in her life. She'd been living in China her whole life.
What kills me, though, is that people have this whole notion about we need government. They're clinging on to this government dream, this hope of a utopia that is just never going to happen. So people are so brainwashed into what is authority and what is law, and these people are going to make a difference for us. And if that just went away, if people could deprogram from that and start doing their own thing, I think the world would actually be better off, because people say, oh no, then we'll have total anarchy. They have it all wrong. The government, they are the anarchists who are causing trouble and doing whatever they want and stomping all over the people. See what I'm saying?
They are the Commander Chaos.
Yeah.
And it's just, the government's really responsible for so many bad things. But the problem is, we're the ones who are responsible for whether or not that government still continuously exists. And furthermore, the problem onto that, one person can make a difference, yet you will be attacked, demonized, destroyed if you start making a difference. I don't know. It's a complicated situation, because on the one hand, you want the individual to be all-powerful, you know. I'm my own master. Nobody else can tell me or compel me to do anything unless I actually agree with them, you know. It's the force of persuasion. We don't have that currently, right? So in order to transition safely from a communist, banker-controlled New World Order into a individually regulated self-governance model, there's going to be there's going to be a lot of eggs broken in making that omelet, I believe, and I think there's a lot of eggs being cracked right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I want to save those people. I want to help those people, you know, because if you've got somebody who's actually getting into court, I don't know if you've ever been to court, but frack, it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
And actually doing the documents and all of that sort of stuff, arresting judges, so on and so forth. They'll never get any mainstream media coverage, and if they do, it's very short-lived. And if it's short-lived, it'll probably be a soundbite, or what I like to call an audio nibble. So it's like pointless, you know? Even if you do accomplish great things and they really do mean something, if nobody hears about it, you know, it's like if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody around to hear it. If you expose a scumbag and nobody ever sees the video because you never even bothered to put it up on YouTube, did you even expose them at all? And
yeah.
That's what I like to do. And in fact, that's what we all really are kind of doing, is giving coverage to those people who actually deserve it. The real freaking issues. You know, we're not talking about Kim Kardashian's ass here.
But people love to hear about her ass, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, disappointing, isn't it, in society when X Factor and Britain's Got Talent and Strictly Come Dancing, you know, that's what people are tweeting about. You know, sad state of affairs, but sure they'll wake up at some point.
Well, you know, I don't know if anything's, there's nothing for sure in this world. You know, you never be assured that everybody's going to wake up. You can never be assured that everybody's going to stay asleep.
You never get to be assured that people want to wake up.
And maybe not everyone came here to wake up. Maybe we all have different purposes. I mean, the parasite and the termite even have a role to play in nature. So there's a lot of those around in human form.
Parasitical termitological.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They're actually creating diversification, ultimately speciation, you know, an evolutionary process by which new biological species arise. So they play a role.
Well, that's another thing as well, like the whole transhumanist agenda. And I don't know if you've seen the film Prometheus, but I get this concept from the film that, oh, human beings are basically just a mistake, right? A complete failure of the engineers to create a perfect system of life. And they balls it up, so they're like, okay, well, bugger it, we're going to have to go back and wipe out our creation because we can. And that's kind of like how the whole human race is actually really governed at the moment, I think, by the elite, is they reckon they created this society, hence they created us, hence they own us, hence they can kill us if they want.
Yeah,
and the whole ownership over human life thing is really, really scary, like the patenting of human genomes and all of this other stuff. We're getting to a point in technology now where the basic things that bind us together, common humanity, morality, brotherhood, sisterhood, etc., whatever, family connections, are waning so much in favor of being replaced by these other things that don't mean anything, you know? Like you really pointed out some of the main problems with our society with X Factor, Britain's Got Talent, or American Idol, etc. We've got all these same variants over here. And in fact, New Zealand made the first American Idol type thing come into existence. It was a TV series called Pop Stars, where they got a whole bunch of girls together and created a girl pop group. You're right. And I am really, really, really ashamed as a New Zealander to know that we unleashed this fracking plague upon the earth.
We had that over here, Pop Stars, and that's how girls allowed. I don't know whether you've heard of those. That's how they spawned.
No, I haven't heard of them. Thank goodness.
They're like a shiny version of the Spice Girls.
Well, it's because of who's running entertainment. You know, when I worked in LA, I used to see a lot of good scripts come through, music as well, but people would always turn it down. No, no, no. And there's very few gatekeepers that are actually in control of entertainment and media. And I think they're purposefully wanting to dumb people down. So they do that with intention. And I always complained. They'll always say, well, that's not commercial. We can't play this song or this movie. It's not commercial. I'm like, you make it, and then people will like it. They'll want to see it, and it will become the new mainstream. But apparently that's not a concept they understood.
Yeah, maybe. I sort of found that going to the Amsterdam dance conferences, where the music was just, it was all commoditized. And they were just talking about units and it sort of really got away from the essence and the life in the music itself. And of course, because it was Holland, there was a lot of really hard techno going on, which from my point of view, trying to sell a lot of really ambient stuff, which I was doing at the time. Didn't really go down.
Yeah, well, who did I have on? I had a guest on a couple of weeks ago. I forget his name now, but he said the music business is not about the music. It's about business. And it's very, very easy to see that when you think about it. I've looked on YouTube and seen these amazing singers and songwriters and bands and things like that who, with zero support, have made their own songs, published their own works and things of that nature. Not because they ain't any good, but because they're actually so much better than the commercial trash that we know and love that they will never, ever get a record contract. Either because the record contract people don't like real good music anymore or real messages, or because that person doesn't want to associate with a scumbaggery record company. And so a new industry is now evolving of self-created, self-perpetuating music creation. And I think that with the advent of RED cameras and other cheaper forms of cinematic technology, I think we're actually going to see a high-quality independent film, independent music, independent books, etc. type of industry being created, not in spite of the fact that commercialism is taking over and destroying the creativity within society, but actually because of that fact. The industry is, in fact, its own worst enemy, because when people don't like it anymore and they see no alternative, it forces them to create one. Not entirely dissimilar to how the truth movement has evolved out of the lie movement. Believe us, we're politicians. You can't be really kidding me. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with Lana Lochteff from Red Ice Radio and Sonic from the Type 1 Radio Lounge. Back in a minute at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Bathing in the blood of many, many small children to keep ourselves nice and healthy and young, just like the pharaohs used to do. Welcome back.
All right. And my very special guests, Sonic and Lana Lochteff. Now, is it Lochteff? L-O-K-T-E-F.
Lochteff. Yeah, that's right. It's Russian.
Oh,
it's Russian.
Lana Lochteva, actually.
Lana Lochteva.
That's right. But no one ever can say it in America, so.
Yeah, that's the thing that I did notice about America is that it becomes, if you've got a really large country that has almost everything in it, you don't really feel like looking outside of it, and you don't watch a whole lot of foreign TV shows. As a result, you don't become familiar with foreign culture. You don't become familiar with foreign linguistics. You don't become familiar with anything foreign at all. So when anybody comes in with anything that isn't, you know, true blue American, you're like, what?
And it's so weird because we're a melting pot. I mean, people from all over the world came here in the beginning. So it's strange.
Yeah, it is odd.
And I think that it should be really required reading or listening or whatever for people to actually watch, say, British comedy. Or Irish films or something of that nature.
Because I remember when I was a kid watching and listening to all these different accents around the world, at first I didn't quite comprehend what they were saying, but after a little bit of time, you begin to pick it up relatively easily. It's just another dialect, you know, Australian and New Zealand. In New Zealand, a pen that you write with is pronounced pen. In Australia, a pen that you write with is pronounced pen, like a pin that you pin something down with. And if you didn't know those very subtle differences, you'd be lost in the conversation. You go, what the heck is going on? And I think that's what's happening to a lot of Americans nowadays, is that they just don't know what the rest of the world is talking about. And the rest of the world sees them as very, very stupid indeed. Like there's a, and this isn't my opinion, of course. This is just what I've seen a lot of it, like racism against Americans based upon the stupidity that's been imposed on them by their education and entertainment systems. You know, that's really it.
But people also forget that there's a lot of forefront thinkers here and trendsetters and brilliant minds. And there's 300 million people here. So you have to break it down per capita. Sure, there's a lot of idiots, but there's also a lot of really brilliant people here as well. You know, I think America gets a bad rap. I mean, I'm well-traveled. I've lived in different countries. And I enjoy coming back home because I feel like people still have some fire here. They're a little more honest. They're friendly. They'll help you out when you're in a bind. And that I like. Some other countries you go to, they're very cold.
Yeah. Like Canada.
Like Sweden.
So do you speak Swedish fluently?
Nay. Just a little Swedish, you know, but Henrik's English is so good and everything we were doing was in English, so I didn't really have time to learn Swedish. And then when I went out and tried to use it, everyone wanted to practice their English. So yeah, so there you go.
Well, that's classic. And that's the other thing that I do like about America as well, is, as you mentioned, the friendliness. My God, they are the friendliest people ever. And they'll always, always, always give you some food. Like my producer's American, and he was just living not too far from me. Just until recently, he's come back home to California, and that was something that I noticed like straight off the bat. Uber friendly, and just welcome you into their house, and do you want something to eat, man? Do you want a beer? Do you want a coffee or something? You know, just always trying to give you something to make your stay more enjoyable, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's the Americans. Okay,
the other thing I have to say
is the people.
America is like 5-6 different countries, depending where you go. I mean, I'm from the West Coast, the Northwest, Portland, Seattle, you know, the grunge movement. It's very different than if you go down south or the East Coast or the Midwest. It really is different depending where you go. Everyone is not the same.
Yeah, absolutely. 50
countries, 50 separate countries, isn't it really, that are just next to each other?
Well, how do you talk to that? You know, have you ever heard of the American president say, I don't want to talk to the American people? What do you mean you talk to the American people? They're all completely different. Yeah. Most of them think you're a liar, you frack.
Yeah, they don't want states seceding. States have tried. You know, they didn't let the South. They had to come in there and cream them. You know, Texas, they won't let them do it. So it's fascism.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's
Aaron Russo was right.
You've got to get people in the know, isn't it? You've got to let them realize, hey, look, bro, you're living under fascism, okay? And it's been happening for actually quite some time. You may think you're free, but all those freedoms are getting dried up day by day. The New World Order nightmare scenario is coming into full view. It'll be at the point where it won't matter whether you close your eyes or have your eyes open. It'll still be just as bad as you can imagine everywhere you look. People got to realize this. There ain't no frickin' escape. It's a new world order. Every country is experiencing these very similar fascist government takeovers right now. Am I right?
That's right.
Yep, pretty much everywhere.
I was foolish and left to Australia thinking it was going to be better, packed everything up several years ago, went out there, and I was like, wow, it's actually worse here. And they even have a toilet tax. They have a little device that they put in your car, even though you pay taxes for the road. It's still like is connected to your bank account and just debits money right away when you go over the bridge as a toll.
Oh, that's crazy. That's properly monitored, isn't it?
Probably. I mean, and how healthy could that device be in your car? Who knows what it's emitting?
Yes, it's interesting over here. You know, 10, 15 years ago, they wanted to put black boxes into cars, and there was an outrage saying, no, the people will be tracking everybody. And then they just marketed it differently and gave people the option to buy GPS navigation systems. So they get the same thing, and they've paid for it. So, yeah.
If the slaves won't take something by force, just tell them it's good for them and that they have to pay for it, and they will.
Yeah, it's amazing.
God, we're stupid. Seriously.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually something we've all got to be really humble about and just realize that we're all pretty freaking stupid, because we've all sat through and watched the system come in and didn't realize it for, a decade or two? I think it was alive for nearly 20 years before I figured out there was something wrong with the world, you know? That's how well it's concealed.
Yeah. I think, too, like you were saying earlier, chemtrails, there's endocrine disrupting chemicals, there's yucky food, there's Wi-Fi, all of this is having an effect on people. So they're not able to access certain parts of their brain to actually think clearly. They're kind of gone. It's like Bertrand Russell's The Impact of Science on Society. It is happening. Read that book. And it's like, we are living in that book. It's insane. He talked about altering the human race through the use of chemicals and hormones to create like a subspecies to easily control them, to kill some and then have some as slaves. I mean, I see that unfolding. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
We just had a story over here today of a major supermarket having found in their low-cost beef vet drugs, you know, like tranquilizer drugs and anesthetics and things. Nice. As well as the horse, obviously.
Jeez.
Yeah, yeah, eat this, it'll make you strong as a horse. Well, how do you know that? Well,
because it is.
It's some kind of Mayan shaman you know, sitting there in the horse meat factory just going, you know, eat this, it'll make you so much stronger. You cut out your beating heart and throw it at you. You know, as joke as I may, okay, this stuff freaks me out. Like, really does scare the living hell out of me. I can't look in any direction without seeing 100 different things wrong with this picture. Even in my very office. Looking around at all these electronic devices that I've got around me that are bathing me in radiation, or the clothes that I'm wearing, how they've got polyester in them, which upon contact with the skin freaking gives you cancer. You know, any direction you look, in any step that you take, you are surrounded 100% in a complete circumference by things that have been produced and continue to perpetuate scumbaggery.
That's right. And the so-called green movement never addresses these things. You mentioned polyester, which I'm glad you mentioned because I've also looked into that. And yet look at the fashion industry, how they're all, go green, do your part, you know, don't wash your laundry as often, take quicker showers. How about all the poison that is surrounding you? The makeup, the hairspray, the laundry detergent, you know?
It's beyond a joke, okay? Everything in this entire system is frickin' broken. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Ergo, if it is broke, frickin' fix it. But these people are so frickin' stupid that they have no clue that they're even being poisoned at all times. They're like, oh, grow organic food. It's nice and better for you. Okay, really? Okay, that's nice. What about all the pesticides? What about all this, that, and the other that everybody's having? And what about the fact that when you label organic food, it can still have about 15% cross-contamination from pesticides, herbicides, and goodness, whatever other aside? We'll be right back after the break at theVinnieEastwoodShow.com.